look at Matthew 16, this is a very familiar chapter, but I'm going to skip around a little bit. I want to talk about self-denial. You heard of it, and you understand the word, but self-denial is misunderstood. It's easy to misunderstand it. What about self-preservation? Self-preservation is natural. Keep alive. That's a good thing. God gave us that. God wrote down that everyone should preserve themselves. So how then can you deny yourself if God said, preserve yourself? Now, the preserving of yourself is stay alive against all other enemies out there. Don't let them take you down, and don't take your own life. Preserve yourself. Stay alive. So that is the most basic law of human nature, is to keep going. Don't die. But then how does it say die? Die to yourself. So we have to understand the word die or deny yourself or crucify your flesh. So it's really not against your self-preservation. So you should preserve yourself. But the way to preserve yourself, that's the issue. Which self do you want to preserve? The natural self is going to perish. So you can only preserve it so long. It's hard to preserve your life 1,000 years right now. So that's just hard. Even 120 is hard to attain, though it is attainable. Men have lived those long ages, but God decided you'd sin too much, so he shortened it. In other words, people were too mean. And so after the flood, he decided to reduce it to typical age of 120, and then he saw even that was too much. So then he decided to reduce it to 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. So I haven't attained to 80 yet, so I'm okay.
So you'll be
120. Yeah, I'm going to do the 120 thing. Yeah. I'm going by the Noah age limit. Because only because I have so much to do. I don't want to die. And I feel like I've just begun. I think the average pastor is looking forward to retirement. You know, when I can retire. Of course, the average pastor doesn't make that much, so he has to kind of stick it out sometimes. But that's not my case. I want to live longer because I feel like I'm just catching on now. But I haven't come up with any new theologies. It's the same old theology. But my grasp of it is greater and greater. And I love this scripture. And I can reduce it now to simplicity. In other words, in the beginning you read it and it's all confusing. How many know that when you read the Bible, it's confusing?
Yes.
It says he's a door, then, you know, it says all kinds of crazy things, and you can't figure out. If you're a little kid, you definitely look at it. I'm not reading this book. It's too hard. And so good isn't good and bad isn't bad, and you know, he's got all these upside down statements that he makes. So that's not why you need a pastor, by the way. You could figure it out by reading the whole thing over and over again and over and over and over and over and over and over, and eventually it would get simple. And that's what I do. That's really what scholarship is. It isn't so much brain as it is just look at it. Look at it a lot. No, just look at it a lot until the Holy Spirit opens it up. So pastors aren't special people. Did you know that some pastors sin? I mean, some pastors really are teaching wrong. I mean, so it isn't easy. To get a hold of this, I think God wrote it in such a way that If you look at it superficially, you'll miss it. If you look at it superficially, you'll miss it. Now, there are some unambiguous words. God so loved the world. Okay, that's unambiguous, meaning he did love the world, whatever that means. But to know that that means unconditional love, that means he loves the world without respect to persons. You can be Adolf Hitler, he loves you just as much as he loves me. Just as much. So that's a little bit confusing. Why would he love sinners like, you know, Mao Zedong or some idiot today? Because that's all he's got. That's all he's got is sinners. That's all he's got. So it has to be unconditional. I'm not counting your sins. So Jesus, in chair four up here, Jesus, you know, he came to die for all men equally. So he doesn't have favorites. God will just take anybody. That's why you're all here. And we're all equal. We're all equally sinful and we're all equally beloved. And this is the only religion I know. I mean, there isn't any other. That says God loves sinners. All the other religions don't think that. They think you have to behave. This is the only one that says you won't behave, therefore I love you. That's a ridiculous teaching. It doesn't make any sense. And the Jews killed Jesus over that. I mean, he was saying that moral people and immoral people were the same. Jesus was saying that people that do wrong and people that do right are the same. So that just really confused them. So they killed him. If you don't understand something, kill it. And so they just decided, you know, the best thing to do with this guy is just kill the guy, and that's the end of that. Because I don't even think his disciples understand this nonsense that he's teaching. That God would love a sinner? Their whole religion was based upon man behaving himself. So why would he love a sinner? Anyway, you can see that this is a weird, strange teaching, and there's no reason why anyone should believe it. Why would anyone believe that Jesus could die so that I could live? His death somehow would make me live, or anybody. That's strange. So do y'all understand what I'm saying? So it's very hard to communicate this to somebody. As a matter of fact, you can't do it. When you communicate this faith to somebody, they may laugh at you, or they may, you know, cry and repent right there on the spot. You never know. He just said the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, so just have to say it anyway. But there's no guarantee that the person listening to you will make any sense out of what you just said. Because they didn't even understand. As a matter of fact, even his disciples didn't understand him. One time they said, "Ah, now you're speaking plainly." He said, "You know, am I? Do you really understand? Are you really getting it?" And they couldn't, because Peter rebuked him in the 16th chapter and said, "You know, Lord, that'll never happen to you. You can't die. You're God's son. You're going to live." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." It's like, whoa, that was kind of a shock to Peter. He thought he was helping him out, trying to, you know, say, "Well, don't say that the Pharisees and the scribes are going to kill you, and on the third day you'll rise again," and so on. Don't go that way. No. Just stay alive. You're our leader. So everybody misunderstands Christianity. It's real easy. You can go to any church in town, and even though they'll say true things, they can also deny the truth while they're saying it. So you want to get it where it really is exactly what the Holy Spirit intended it to be. What God the Father intended it to be, what Jesus intended it to be, you got to have revelation on that. You see, what we'd like to do is read the book and then we don't need God. But he wants you to read the book so that you need him. It's like, the more I read it, the more confused I become. Amen? So this is a big one today. Deny yourself. What's it talking about? And I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to understand this fully, because it's about you. It's about us. It's about knowing We just sang this song, knowing the Lord. You know, knowing Him. Knowing. What does the word know, which is gnosis in Greek, or gnosis, what is that? To know Him, it's actually to transform you into the likeness of God. To intercourse with Him, to fellowship with Him, to deal with Him, to be related to Him, is actually to die to yourself so that you live for Him. Now, when you get married, that is the idea. When you're married, you no longer are a self that you need to preserve. Why? Because He is in love with you, and suddenly, you know, you don't care about living or dying or eating or sleeping or whatever. You're just in love, and you're caught up in another. And so physical intercourse is symbolic of spiritual intercourse, where you lose yourself. You lose yourself so that there's no longer two, but one. In other words, you're bound up together. And so God wants us to know that that's Christianity. Christianity, then, is coming to know Him as a sinner, as a hypocrite, as a repentant one, as a faithful one, as a submitted disciple, as a lover, to know Him in such a way that you become exactly like Him, that you're transformed from one degree of glory to another, and to another, to another. Now, this passage is going to talk about how to build the church. So it starts with the foundation. You have to be a sinner. You can't build a church out of people that aren't sinners. So does everybody have a background of sin? You have to be. And the worse you are, the better. The worse you are, the better. And so the worst person on earth is a good candidate. Not for Buddhism. Not for Hinduism. Not for Islam. Not for, you know, Catholicism. They all want you to behave. Not for Judaism. But this one is for people that misbehave. This is the only religion for bad people. That's amazing. Here's a religion for bad people. Imagine a religion for bad people. And you have to be wicked. How many here are trying your best not to be? How's it going? How's that happening? Is that working out pretty good? I would stay away from people, by the way. Because if you imagine that you're a decent person, or at least want to be a decent person, or at least hope to be someday, you're probably in trouble if you thought it was up to you. It's not going to work out. And if you get close to people, they might point that out. Indirectly, they might let you know, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. And some of us make a religion out of criticizing other people that makes us exalted a little bit. I mean, if you're rottener than I am, I'm at least above you. And so some people major on pointing out other people's mistakes and sins and shortcomings and so on and so forth, as though that would help you out. So, and you say, well, I didn't do it on purpose. It just that person needed it. That's cute. That's very cute. But the truth is, you did do it deliberately, and you would love to distract on somebody else because other people are so obvious. Other people are so obviously wrong. Yeah. Right? And that's almost a Christian virtue for us, is to point out the non-virtue in some other Christian. Why even worry about the pagans? We can just pick on each other. Well, you're not much of a light. You're not salt, you know. You're not helping out. You're such a phony and a fake and a hypocrite and a liar. Well, God happens to like phonies and fakes and hypocrites and liars because He just considers them the same as sinners. So whether you're legalistic or whether you're a genuine rotten person, and we have so few of those these days. Most people who come to church put these masks on. We should hand them out at the door. You know, put a smiley Jesus face on you or something so that you could, you know, come in here and qualify superficially. But the truth is, everybody's in chair one. You're, not only that, you're conceived in sin. Mm-hmm. David said, I was conceived in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. So that's pretty bad when you start out, you haven't even got out into the womb yet, You haven't even got out into the world yet. You haven't even birthed. But you're already at conception. You're already ruined. That's kind of sad. And then to shape up after that. I tell you, that is tough. That's why most people go the hypocrite route. Look, I may be evil. I'm sure I've done a few things evil. But I have a little divine spark in me. How many believe you have a little divine spark in you? A little bit of goodness, a little bit of kindness, a little bit of sweetness. I love it. I love it when you meet somebody like that, because they're a fool. I've never met such a person. I've never met such a person. But I love it when people do that. It's kind of a game. You have to play with them. Yeah, let's pretend like you're nice and I'm not. Let's pretend like you're nice and I'm not. You know what? Everybody's equal. That's why they killed Jesus. He said everyone was equal. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So if all have fallen short, then sinner and hypocrite are the same. And then when I repent, that better be a gift of God. Because if I do the repenting, that'd be like the mafia cleaning up the other part of the mafia. You still have the mafia when it's over. So I really can't repent unless it's a gift of God. That is, change my mind. Change my mind. Maybe I'm wrong about not just some things, a few things that I've done wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about everything. Maybe I'm just wrong. How many have discovered that that's true of you? Or at least of your mate? Or at least of somebody else you know? That they are completely a blackguard. You know, they're completely defiled. They're completely rotten to the core. How many have at least one or two people in your life that you know you can point to? You know, thank God I'm not like him. I'm not like her. Thank God I'm not like so-and-so. I mean, that's the cost of all our divorcing and all of our, you know, breaking relationships and child-parent things and all the criminality and everything is because some people think they're better than others. And I've heard Dennis Prager say that. There are good people and bad people. That's a Jewish idea. There are good people and bad. I mean, basically good. Basically not good. Yes, they make a few mistakes, but those are clean-upable. I don't believe in the perfectibility of man. I don't believe you can take a sow's ear and turn it into a purse. But some people believe in the alchemy of being able to take some tin and make gold out of it. In other words, to take a sinner and make them into a saint. Even if not perfect, at least better. I don't believe in that. Now, the whole modern world is built on the improvability of man. I don't believe in it. The whole world is based on civilization. You know, we came out of the primitive, you know, jungle of nature. And now we're behaving ourselves. We're getting along with each other. I don't believe that. I mean, just look at our cities. You know, maybe you believe it on a farm because people are kind of at a distance from one another. But it's not there either. But it's certainly not in the cities. Just crime is rampant. So the Bible is the only true book in the world. There's no other book that's true. Because the other books are trying to make you improve and do better and be civilized and be kind and be nice and so on. You know, I don't teach that. As I know the Bible doesn't teach it. And I know that 99% of the pastors don't teach it. I'm sure there's 1% out there that believe as I believe. Well, I don't think there's a lot. Because the ministers themselves often are committing adultery. They're often greedy. They're often egocentric. And so Jesus said, don't judge by appearance, judge with right judgment. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So chair one, chair two is who we are. And chair three then is a gift of God that says, I love sinners, and otherwise you couldn't repent. No one would repent or change their mind unless God wrote it down, declared it on the earth. And so heaven on earth, that's our theme for this year. Heaven on earth. I believe there should be heaven on earth. Well, how do you get it? Well, you can't get it out of those. That would be building on sand. Sand. Yeah, so let's not build on those two. Neither of those are rocks. So here's the rock right here. Having faith in Jesus. So this one here, to believe in Jesus is really to deny yourself. So this repentance is really to deny that this self is acceptable to God. Whether you're a wicked open sinner or whether you're a religious, church-going, nice person pretending not to be a sinner, they're the same. And so change your mind on that. Those are just shifting sand. You know, you can put anybody, the most decent person, you can put them in a tough situation, a difficult situation, and sin will come out. You can. I mean, somebody who's basically nice, you can put them in a tough situation, and they turn nasty. I'm telling you, religious people are the most fierce of all. Yes. I'd rather have the mafia and Satan. I mean, people can get vicious, especially when they think they're right. And God calls them self-righteous. Self-righteous. Now, denying yourself is not to be self-righteous. So even though I'm to preserve myself, that's natural law, until death, I'm to preserve myself. At the same time, I'm to deny myself. So I want to take up my cross. So let's read that. Let's read that in Matthew. And it's in Luke 2. It's all over the place, actually. All right. Let's start at 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, he just got done saying he'll build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Okay? Para Nehemiah, or Nehemiah. Para Neomai. Para Neomai in the Greek. That means to go against yourself. How many know that's a tough thing to do? If I feel like yelling at you, I'm going to yell at you. If I feel like crying, I'm going to cry. I don't have a God that I check out with. I just make my own decisions. If I want to express myself, I just will. I mean, no, that's willful. But even if I pretend to be nice, well, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just trying to say something. You're still wicked. You're just wicked. How many know there's no one worse than you are on the face of the earth? Equal to, yes. But worse, no. How many know that? Because this message won't mean much unless you kind of agree that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there are no gradations in heaven. You're either perfect or not. You're either God-like or not. You're either everything that God says or you're not. I mean, that's it. So chair 7 is never going to happen until we get to chair 6. Chair 6 is where you're dead to yourself. So self-denial means go from chair 4 to 5 to 6. That is, go from faith to crucifixion of the flesh to walking in the Spirit or walking in love. So this chair is to be married. This is the marriable chair. When you're like this, then get married. But if you haven't gone through this, don't get married. If you haven't gone through all the suffering and, you know, beating up your old self, don't get married. If you think you're better than somebody else, don't get married. Oh my gosh. If you think you're a lover, don't get married. You really need to marry because of the will of God. We went to a wedding last night, and the minister built the whole marriage on your love. I was amazed. And then he threw in for kicks, you know, something about God. But it basically, what's going to make this marriage work is your love for one another. So let's build on that. How many know that does not work?
Amen.
50% of the population doesn't believe in that. So I wouldn't build on that. I wouldn't build on my love or your love or our love. You cannot build on that. Now, for me, it's not a theory. For me, that's just plain experience. That's just, you don't need to have a rhema on that. Is people do not get along. I don't know if you've noticed that about people. I recommend pets, something like that. Pets are great. I mean, Brinkley is awesome. You know, he just never changes. You know, he's just always faithful. She has a dog named Brinkley. Very nice. Very nice. But, you know what? People, oh, that's something else. People just don't get along. Children sometimes don't get along. Parents sometimes, you know, I mean, just It's just a real hassle. And so Jesus said, I'll build my church. I'm going to start with sinners, and then I'll give them the good news so that they repent and then believe, and then faith active in love till I make a lover out of them. That's building the church. That's how the church is built. So the way to build the church is to build you individually. The way to build a church, a group of people, is to build an individual one at a time. So the first thing we have to do is kill Dan. And that was not easy, Dan. You were a hard case.
Yeah. Every day.
Is still? Now? No, no, he's changed now. He's going to good church. And he's okay now.
Good pastor.
Yeah, good pastor. Now, the truth is that it takes God to build. No human being can build yourself into a better person. But we have I don't read Cosmopolitan magazine, but those kind of magazines, they always have something in there, how to improve your sex life or how to cook better or whatever. They've always trying to help you out that you could be better. And then 17 magazine. I've never read these things, but I'm just telling you, I've seen their pictures on there, and I've looked at the thing, it's like, this is, they're always helping out as though people were improvable or perfectible. That's a French Revolution idea. That didn't work out so hot for the French. But then the Russians tried to pick up that. And now it's in our own country. People are trying to make us behave and hope that the best comes out of us. Let's have government instead of defending us from everybody else and having our natural rights, and sinning all over the place. Let's have government make us into better people. That's stupid. I can't imagine a stupider idea than that government could do something positive. The only thing government can do is protect you in your natural rights and let God do all the changing. Government can never be the benefactor giving out benefits. It's impossible. First of all, they own nothing. Second of all, there are slaves. Third of all, they're pretending now, hypocritically, to be the benefactor or the beneficiary. They want our stuff. And they want to pretend like they give out stuff. They neither give out nor are they able to take. They're just trustees of what belongs to the people. Of the people, for the people, by the people, all that people stuff. That's us. And the government is the buy side. They're the buy the people. So we should have people that are willing to come under the law, not put people under the law, but themselves are the problem. The government itself cannot contain itself. It doesn't know how to restrict itself or restrain itself. The Constitution is a piece of paper. It's worthless. Unless the people themselves insist upon accountable, trustees, and then remove them from office when they're no good, but everybody pays off and so on, so it doesn't work. So I don't care what you vote, it's not going to work because someone will, just pay somebody else off and they buy you cheap. People are cheap. People are bought cheaply. And so you pick people that you think, because they lie, that people that think, oh, I'm going to be honest and I'll be good and so on, it is liars. Even if they meant it, they meant it. They probably did mean it until they needed something for their daughter who wants to go to a college somewhere, and they needed a benefit from somebody. And then somebody, they bribed them. And so you can be bribed in 1,000 ways. So first thing they do is they fall in love with another guy, or they fall in love with another girl, or they fall in love with somebody. And then they compromise you, and from then on you're a slave. And so they're not able to stay free. We need rulers that fear God, not that fear man, not that want something. How many know your God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? I mean, if he supplies all your needs, how much can the person that's bribing you supply? But today, that's what politics is. I mean, it's not like the majority of people are still clean and honest. I don't know how many it is now. But it's no longer that a big majority, overwhelming. That's because the founding fathers of Texas and the founding fathers in the America, they were slaves. They were being turned into slaves by Britain or by Santa Anna. And so they came fresh off of that and decided, hey, let's not have more civil and religious tyranny. Let's put it into place. And they meant it. But they also said, Jefferson presciently said, you know what? This whole thing will fall apart. if it's just built on man's goodness. Because they'll find out where the trough is. They'll find out where the money is. And government will then hand it out, bribe people, and that'll be the end of the republic. And that happened a long time ago. So people have figured out how to get freebies. Our whole country now is freebie takers. And there's only a handful of people. It's not the wealthy. They've figured out how to get around those things. But there's a handful of people who have figured out, and the poor are exempt. So it's only the middle class that's being destroyed, and everyone always says, middle class, middle class. But it's just words. It has nothing to do with anything. Middle class are ignorant because they're, you know, they work too much. They don't play enough golf to actually make any real decisions because they're busy all the time trying to keep up with the Joneses and get a this and a that and so on. You know, if you're a leader and you don't have a lot of leisure time just to waste time with Jesus as a pastor or just to simply sit down and be a reasonable person, you cannot just work all the time. So this work ethic thing is stupid if you think that you're going to make good decisions while you're working because you're working. And so you don't really have time because you're so busy. And now everybody's busy, busy, busy. And then you come home and you watch this entertainment box and all this kind of stuff. And now they're on the inner tube or whatever it is. Oh, I love it. So Jesus said, here's Jesus' teaching. Look how irrelevant this is in our day. This is totally irrelevant. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man comes after me, let him deny himself. How many here have denied yourself? You don't want yourself to make any decisions because that's what we're after. The death of self is the death of the selfish self. It's the death of the independent from God self. Our declaration of independence should not be from God. It should be of dependence on God so that we're independent of tyrants. And you're the biggest tyrant of all. You have to be able to control yourself. The government can only protect me from foreign armies and criminals within if it also restrains itself within the limits of higher law jurisprudence. The constitutional limited government. It doesn't do it anymore. Now statutes can overthrow. They don't directly overthrow. They don't obviously overthrow the Constitution, but they do. They nibble away at it until it's gone. So that now some judge or some lawyer will simply refer to the last three cases rather than to thousands of years of precedent in law. And so somewhere in the 17th century, 18th century, it didn't last very much longer. By the time you got to the 19th century, it was pretty much over. Men began twisting the Constitution to their own self-interest. Now, self-interest is good as long as there's a God. Self-interest is not good if you don't care for your neighbor. If you don't become a lover. You have to love your neighbor, Bible says, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's a lot. I don't know. But that's only to Christians. That's not talking about the nation. That's just, we Christians should love our neighbor as ourselves. How's that? Well, one way is to convict them that the way they're living is wrong. That's preaching the truth. So that they're actually convicted, you know what? I'm not living in a way that's pleasing to God. I need to be dead. I've always said this. Don't get better, just get deader quicker. Don't get better, just get deader quicker. In other words, learn to die to yourself faster.
Yes.
And sometimes you do it, right? I mean, there are times. You wouldn't even be here if you hadn't died a little bit to get up this morning and come. You know, that's good. That's good. And praise God, you're still guys together. I love that. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Is that not a miracle?
You're well.
That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Because today, families just split for whatever reason. What for? Why don't you grow up instead? Wouldn't it be better if you grew up? Well, there are no ministers to help you. And so the ministers are the ones that messed up, not you. The ministers are the ones that didn't believe this. Forget the minister preached the truth and the people didn't want it. I don't believe that. I believe if the minister knows the truth, he's going to preach it. And he's going to live it. And there are people that are going to be benefited by it. So if you teach the truth, and it's not easy. People would rather have you lie and tell, you know, just improve yourself, be a hypocrite, be a liar, be, you know. This is the last chair you'll sit in if you come here. This is the end of the matter. I was a sinner and now I'm better. I don't believe that. I believe you are a sinner, you still are, you still are. Even if a Christian, you believe in Jesus, you still are. Even then you're sitting on the disciplined discipleship chair, you still are. And even when you become a lover, you still do. Hello! People are not improving. You just have to be killed. That's the purpose of chair 5. I'm trying to get everybody out of chair 4 and get them into chair 5. And too many of you are still too smart. You're too clever. You haven't denied yourself. You still have, you trust your emotions. How many here still trust their emotions? I mean, fears, anger, bitterness, you know, jealousy, etc. And most of the sins that we have an emotional component to them. You know, where, well, you made me do that. Well, if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have done that. Really? That's clever. Clever. But you know, Adam and Eve tried that thing. The woman thou gavest me. The devil made me do it. I don't believe any of that. I believe you're just wicked. Amen. I believe everybody here is exactly like me. I mean exactly. It's just that you were cleverly, you know, raised by parents who, you know, taught you that foolishness. You're just wicked. You're just wicked. And my parents never said I was wicked. They never said those words. I just knew I was. Well, you know, so that, I mean, all the chores I had just made me angry. It never made me happy. I just knew I was always wicked. I always liked lying. I always liked exaggerating. Does anybody know that little kids do that? Yeah. I mean, I just started doing that when I was young, and nobody ever stopped me. My mother worked all the time, so she wasn't at home. And my third father, second father, first father, I never saw much of them. And so there was really no one to watch over me. And so you just grow up that way. But I don't think it's a psychological thing. I think it's just the way we all are. It just came out because there was no one there to beat the tar out of me until I behaved myself. I knew how to be a liar and a hypocrite. I was good at it. And I'm still good at it. I've actually kept that little vice up. I've kept that up. Did you know that people could revert? Even after you're a believer, and even if you're a pastor, I believe pastors lie too. Especially the pastor that I definitely don't trust is the one that's sincere. That's the one that's so dangerous. I wish, you know, you can't tell the whole truth here, but I wish I could tell about some other ministers that people think a lot of. And I happen to know stuff that I shouldn't know, but you find out stuff. And then it's just like, people are so easily duped. You know why? It isn't because they duped you, it's because you want to be duped. If you want to know the truth, read the Bible. It tells you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And so the Bible doesn't have a high view of us. As a matter of fact, it has no view of us at all, but God's mindful of us. Why? Because he wants to take us through this knowing thing. I want you to know my son. Here's how you know him. You start out as a sinner, don't become a hypocrite, but if you are, okay, fine. But then repent of that, and then get the faith, then wipe out all of that sin ruling and reigning over you until you're a lover. So that then, when he comes back, he'll have a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. All right. Now, how many of you have been improving the last few months? I just got done saying, don't improve. How many of you have just been getting deader quicker? You know, you just stop, you know, being impressed with yourself sooner. Self-denial, then, is not preserving yourself. Oh, okay. Self-denial is preserving your natural self, but not your cultural self, whether it's wicked or nice, so that you can be your true self that God originally intended you to be when he created you.
Say it all again.
Okay. God, to preserve yourself is good. That's a natural thing. Preserve yourself. But the self you don't want to preserve, that you want to deny, that you want to have suffer, that you want to kill, that you want to crucify your flesh, that self is the one that you want dead, but you can't make yourself dead. You don't have any power to make yourself dead. Say it, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Okay, don't make the mistake of thinking, okay, I'll try. Don't do that. That's the self that has to die, the one that says, I'll try, as though you were capable of doing anything good. Now, of course, you can do good that people call good, but that's just deception, because you're basically not good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and so on and so on. The heart is wicked above all things, and so there's a million scriptures on that. Not a million, but plenty. So God doesn't want you to be good. He wants to be good, and he just wants to kill you so he can be good. But he's not killing your natural flesh. What he's killing is your spiritual selfishness, your spiritual independence from God, so that you don't check with God every 5 minutes, every 5 seconds, every 5 nanoseconds. You have to check with God all the time. God, I'm feeling a little unhappy right now. Well, don't do it. Don't feel unhappy. Feel happy. Oh, I can't just feel happy. Of course you can. You're just wicked right now. Confess your wickedness and be happy. God, I'm wicked. You just say it. Don't be rhema'd by it. Just say it. I'm wicked. All right, I'm going to start with Rosemary. Just say it. I'm wicked.
I'm wicked.
Amen. I knew that. All right, Crystal. I'm wicked.
I'm wicked.
I'm equal to her.
I'm equal to
her. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay.
She's better.
Oh, worse than her. That's good. That's good. But that's an illusion. She's worse than you think. I'm wicked.
I am so wicked.
Amen, amen. I like the emphasis on that. Julie.
Yes, I'm very wicked.
Amen. That's good. How about treacherous? Let's try treacherous, Pam.
I'm treacherous.
Oh, I love that. I don't need to even talk about Alex. We'll start with Margaret. I'm evil.
I'm evil.
Yeah, that's good. That's the one God loves. He doesn't love the nice one. Think not that I came for the righteous, I came for sinners who repent. In other words, change your mind about what the world has taught you or what you think or whatever. Just say what God said. God, I don't want to lose any more members, so I'll pretty much get the front rows there. Now, so denying yourself, Piggy wanted me to repeat that, has nothing to do with self-preservation. Actually, it has to do with how you preserve yourself, your true self. Not just your natural self, but your eternal self, which you didn't have. But Jesus gave it to you. He came down for sinners who didn't have anything, and then you repented of all the goodness you thought you had, which wasn't there. And then you admitted, I need to have faith in Jesus, whose righteousness covers me. Not only for time, but for eternity. Even though I don't see it, I believe in it. I believe Jesus is my righteousness. And therefore, I want to be disciplined or discipled, and therefore, I want to be a lover. In other words, I think that's what God wants, and that's who I am. That's why he came. Why does he have these three process things? Why doesn't he just have one? Only believe. No. Faith active in love. In other words, faith should not be inactive. It should go through this death so that it can go to this resurrection. It could go from the outer court to the holy place to the holy of holies. You should go from spirit to soul to body. The soul or the self is what needs to die as the old self, the old Adam, the old sinful, selfish, independent, me, everything for me, self. How many are aware that you have that old me self still in you? Even though you're Christian. You still have it. It just comes up all the time. And you cannot pretend. Here's what 1 John says. He that saith, he's talking to Christians. He that saith he hath no sin maketh God a liar. So even Christians sin. I know they're saints, but saints sin. I don't know if you've noticed that. Outwardly, even if it's not in the heart, chair 4, it's still in the soul, chair 5. And it's going to show up in the body, chair 6, even if you're a hypocrite about it. Try to cover it. So there is wickedness. Now, I know this is not good preaching because people don't like to hear all that negative stuff. But the truth is, it's the best news ever. You can get along with everybody as long as you realize everybody's equally the same. Everybody's out for themselves. That's okay. That's self-interest. It's okay. But what Jesus wants to do is set you free from that. Won't force you. Won't make you do it. Just set you free from it. Say, look, first of all, I forgive you in chair 4. You're forgiven. I won't count it. Now, because you trust me here, trust me here. Trust me here. I will kill your old self. You can't do it, but I will. By my love. By my love for you as a sinner. Even if you're not sinning outwardly anymore, at least you still have a self. I'll love you to death. I'll love you till you're dead. I just love you to death. It's good. But here's what he wants, and he's only coming back for this. He's not coming back for anything else. I just don't want to lie to you. I say ministers do not teach this. Even if they talk about it, they're not doing it. So this is not good enough, and this is certainly not. This is just how you start. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. Faith, hope, love. God wants us to die to ourselves. So that's how you build the church. Jesus Christ is building. He didn't say, you will build the church. Pastor Jim will build the church. He didn't say that. No. I will build my church. I'll build God's church. I'm going to build God's kingdom on earth. I'm going to have heaven on earth. We're it. We're heaven. But there's no heaven in 4 because it's hidden. And there's no heaven in 5 because it's hidden too. The world doesn't see your soul. They only see the behavior or the fruit of your soul out here. And so, when he says, I will build my church, that's what he's talking about, because the world sees you then as salt and light. The fact that you profess it, let's say salt, you tell the truth of the gospel. Okay, that still isn't the reality. And many people are not going to come because of that. Some people are so ripe, they'll come. But most people need to see your love. They need to see the love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those. They need to see that. So that they go, that's the kingdom of God. That's not Margaret. That's not Julia. That's not, you know. They need to see it. They need to see it. And when they see your good works, they know that wasn't you. That was the new you. That was the you that you lost was your selfish you. They see the love. You're not selfish anymore. They see it. You are now happy all the time, worshiping God, loving your neighbor. As you love yourself, you're happy with you. You're no longer trying to improve. Please, please, don't improve. Just be you. Be you. I don't want people to lie. I don't want people... I mean, you can do it if you want to. I see right through it anyway. Because I tried all those lies myself. I mean, I don't believe there's any sin that... there are some sins I haven't done. But there's no sin in me that is any different than the sin in you. I've never met anyone meaner or more nasty or more... But I've met a lot of people equally bad like me. And you don't have any love in you. I don't have any love in me, naturally. So that self, my just temporal self, I'm going to preserve it. This is how you save your soul, by killing yourself. If I kill myself in chair 5... that's how I preserve myself in chair 6, which was originally what I was trying to do in chair 1. I was just trying to get everything for me. I wanted to be God. I wanted everyone to admire me or, you know, do what I wanted or dominate them or something. I just wanted everything to go my way. Right? That's called happiness. Jesus' very first sermon was happy. You know when it says blessed are the poor? That word is happy. It's not blessed. It means happy is the person who is poor in spirit. In other words, a sinner. Happy are you if you're a sinner. His whole message, he started out his whole ministry with the word happy. Why? Everybody's interested in it. I mean, that guy is a good advertiser. He knows, hey, hit something that everybody wants. Happiness. You want personal happiness? You're not going to find it ever. Nobody ever has. Even though you have moments of happiness, you have to keep repeating it all the time because you're never satisfied. Did you know that? Even when you're happy for a few minutes, it pretty soon goes away, and then you're disappointed. And so people are on lithium all the time, going up and down, because they're trying to have an even keel life. It doesn't work. Why don't you just be you? Who cares what you're like? Just behold Jesus. Know Jesus. Have intercourse with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Get into His Word. Waste time in His Word. Read it and read it and read it until it destroys your old self. That's denial. I mean, to read the Bible is self-denial. When you read the Bible, literally, I don't mean, you know, make up some, pretend like it's saying something it doesn't say, but just read what it says. And that Bible is designed to destroy your flesh. It's not designed to make you feel good. So I read the Bible the other night, I felt depressed. I think that's funny. You read it right. You should be depressed because you think you're somebody great. You need to be depressed from this fluffy view you have of yourself, this exalted view of yourself. So whether you're a wicked open sinner or whether you're a hiding sinner, doesn't make any difference. The Bible is designed to destroy this until you're reduced to a Jim Borchard status. I love it when everybody's liketh unto me. I feel like I'm typical of everybody. It's sad. It's sad, but still. You're just as bad as I am, Dan. That's good. That we can love each other. Why? Because I don't have any illusions about who I am or who you are. I don't have any goodness. God has all the goodness. He has got a 100%, you know, monopoly on that. He's the only one that's good. Only God is good. No one else is good. No one else is good but God. I think I should write a book on no one else is good. I mean, because the whole civilization is built on the fact that people are different, some good and some bad. They punish the bad. I know that. That's okay. I'm not against that. I'm just against that if you thought that meant you're going to heaven. I know you can behave yourself. And I don't always misbehave outwardly. I many times behave well, very, very nice. There are people that actually are fooled by my niceness. And that's good. I'm very proud of that, which is another sin I have. But I feel like all of you are just like I am. But you come from a bit different background, so you imagine your background amounts to anything. Your background's nothing. It's not your background. It's your foreground. That's what God is looking at. Where's your fruit? Well, I couldn't produce any. Well, that's because you're building on the wrong foundation. Let Jesus build your life. He wants you to be happy today, happy today, happy today. He wants you to be happy right now. You don't even need to get to chair 6. If you just start in chair 5, it's already over. Just trust Him. But then, don't be surprised if you find yourself in front of a crisis or a trouble or a problem. That's sent by God. God, deliver me. Things are happening. They're bad. And God doesn't hear. Well, yeah, He hears. He just goes, no, this is where I wanted you to go from here. Now you trust me here. Trust me here. I'll forgive your sin, so don't try to stop sinning. But this is bringing out all my sin. When something bad happens to me, I want to blame somebody or get somebody. Or I didn't. What do I do? just being you. You need to stop being you. Deny yourself. What does it mean? Take up your cross. What does it mean? Follow me. Be discipled. Be taught by me. Learn of me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. What? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So that's all he's trying to say is let me do it. Let me take care of it. Then you won't have any burdens. I carry all your burdens. I haven't given you one burden. So if only God is the benefactor, nobody else can be a benefactor, certainly not you. Now, when you benefact somebody, it's because Jesus first benefacted you. In other words, the only thing I can give is give out of that which I have. Somebody had to give it to me. That was God. God is the giver of every good and perfect thing. God is the giver of every good and perfect thing. So if something good has happened to you, and I've had a wonderful life. I have. So I've got a lot from God. Thank you. I praise you. I adore you. Amen. So he's remaking our lives so that we go through this process here, threefold process, so that we then can end up here in the bridal throne. An intimate love affair with Jesus instead of yourself. You see, when you're married, you're no longer you. When you're married, you're no longer you. You're caught up in unity, relationship with somebody else. Who's greater? Who's greater? Think of others more highly than yourself. Do you know it says that in the Bible? Think of others more highly. So even if we're all equal, which we are, but you should still take care of other people. Don't worry about yourself. Why? Because God is taking care of you. He's superior to you and he's taking care of you and he has more wisdom than you do. He has more power than you do. He has more goodness than you do. He has 100%. You have zero. So he has 100%. You have zero. So everything good about you is not you. So if you lose your life, you find it. What life? The selfish life. The life that only caring about myself. Why? Jesus takes care of me. Jesus promised to take care of me. Even if you don't pray, he'll still take care of you. Do you know he loves Muslims? I know they do all kinds of wicked things. So what? Do you know he loves murderers? Do you know he loves all kinds of people? Well, so what he wants you to do is, hey, you know why people are murdering and doing all that kind of stuff? It's because they're trying to take care of themselves. They're trying to survive. But look, you need to realize there's no profit. What does it profit a man if he wins the whole world and loses his soul? Chair 5. What happens if you lose your soul? You lose your soul. If you go after this world, you'll lose your soul. That is the one you were supposed to preserve. Why? Because you're preserving it so that Jesus can build on his foundation so that you can be changed from glory to glory to glory. He's changing me. From glory to glory, he's changing me, changing me, changing me. So, in his goodness and likeness, you know, he's trying to make me like him. I believe that. I believe in chair 4 that he's going to get me to chair 6. The good work you began in me, you will surely complete. All right. Did I bless anybody today? It's just a trustee. You're a trustee. That's all it is. You're not the benefactor. You're just simply, and you're not, You don't have to be a beneficiary forever. Here's the beneficiary right here. This is you without change that he loves unconditionally. Okay? Before you go through the change. He loves you while you're 450 pounds. He loves you while you're nasty. He loves you while you're yet a sinner. I mean, no, he loved us while we were yet sinners. So enjoy that for a while. Just be the beneficiary. Take, party, 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 party. You know, just let God love you as you are and stop beating yourself up as though you could be better. You are selfish. You are nasty. Let him love you right here, selfish and nasty. Jesus died for all your sins. Amen. Jesus died for you. He's not doing it for your sins. He's doing it for you. And then he'll change you only when you're voluntarily saying, God, I've had so many blessings. I think right now I got it down that you're going to forgive me no matter what. But get this down first. I mean, this may take 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. I mean, I don't care what it takes, but get that lesson down first. Don't go to second grade till you go to first. This is the first one. How many know that God loves you no matter what and it's not going to keep you from heaven? All your sins are not going to send you to hell. And all your goodness is not going to get you to heaven because you don't have any. But all his goodness is for you. So when you get that down, there's a process. And now I want a few of you, not all, most of you, stay here. If you want the benefits, get all the benefits. But here, then only if you voluntarily want to do this. I want to stop sinning. I know it'll forgive me for all my sins, but I don't even think my sins are working. I don't think they're working. I'm always pressing that button. I put a piece of tape on that button. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You know, but I'm done with that now. Lord, change me into your likeness. Only you can make me like unto you. Because you came and offered to marry me And now I'm betrothed to you. You do the changing. So let God do it. And as you submit to him, what happens? You realize, I found my life. By losing it, I found it. By keeping it, I lose it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his soul? Don't lose your soul. Keep your soul. Preserve your soul. How? By believing, and then by submitting, and then by loving. That's easy. Simple. Now, what God wants is for us to be happy all the time. Who would like to start today to be happy all the time? You can be happy all the time. Willis? Why do you want that? Because that was his first sermon. Happy are those who, are despised and hated and mourning and all that stuff. He's trying to say is, don't worry about all the problems. I'll solve all of them. I made you. You're mine. You're my beloved. Come on, be my beneficiary. Let me do it all for you, then in you, then through you. For you, cheer for. Five, in you. Six, through you. Who's ready? Who's ready today? Judy. You ready?
I'm ready.
To the death of you.
Of me.
Right. Randy also. Yes. Amen. You also?
Yes.
It's amazing. Three in one family. That's powerful. That's powerful. Alex, are you ready?
No.
Okay. That's good. I appreciate that. That's good. Stay alive. Just be the beneficiary.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Don't go on
because
you're not ready yet. That's good. It's wisdom. Ready. Ready. Julia.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready to submit?
Yes, I am.
You don't like submission?
No, I don't.
Right, but that's what you want to die.
Yes.
That non, independent, selfish self, only caring about yourself, and controlling and dominating others. You want that to die. You want to surrender today to Jesus. Lord, I surrender. Amen.
He thought of him. He's thought of me.
Yahoo!
I surrender.
Surrender.
Surrender. Submit.
All right. Everybody back here, surrender. Surrender. Everybody over here, surrender. All right. Now, Tim, especially you. Especially you. Are you ready to surrender today?
I believe I am.
No, do you believe you are? Are you?
I am.
All right. Amen. It's good. From now on, Jesus, take care of you. No more pressure on you. You don't have to behave.
Hallelujah.
You're not going to behave. You can't make yourself behave. But Jesus can and will and wants to. And you're submitted to him. That's all. That's powerful. You're going to do it too? Just because everyone else?
Yeah. Because I heard what you're saying.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. All right. I love you all. You're the best.
Thank you.
You're the best. Don't worry. God isn't done yet. He has the best saved to the last. Dessert hasn't appeared yet. He's about to come back.
Thankfulness.
Woohoo!
Praise God.
All right. I love you all. God is good.